serves, among other things, as our church treasurer, and she is going to bring our reading from the book of Acts.
The reading is from the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, which is found on page 1031 in the Green Bibles. That's page 1031 in the Green Bibles. Acts chapter 1, beginning to read at the first verse. Luke writes, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.' This is the word of the Lord."
Great, Judith, thank you very much for reading. I'd love you to keep that passage open, page 1031, Acts chapter 1. Jesus' last words to his disciples as recorded by Luke in the book of Acts. And as we look at this, let's ask for God's help by word of prayer. Lord, as we've just sung, we are desperate for you. We are lost without you. We simply ask that by your Spirit now, you teach us through your word, envision us, and empower us as you send us out from here to live and work to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're new here or just visiting, you come at a good time. We're just rehearsing our vision, what it is that holds us together as a church here. Our vision is to glorify God, to make him look good, by being the Christ-centered family in Parsons Green. And I wanted to take that phrase over last week and this week to unpack it a little bit. What do we mean by the Christ-centered family in Parsons Green? I spoke about Christ-centered family last week. That talk will be, or shortly will be, on the website if you missed it and if you'd like to catch up. Today I want to qualify, if you like, what we understand by in Parsons Green. And I said last week that what we do is sometimes life is busy and there are distractions and life gets full. Sometimes if it's like a journey, you can feel you've lost your way. And so we go back. Where was I certain of where I was? Where did it all begin? Where was I sure of where I knew I was? And as a church, I wanted to go back to where the church began. Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. We saw how they devoted themselves to one another last week. And here I want to go back to the very last thing that the early church, those apostles, heard Jesus say. Jesus' last words. Think about it for a moment. If you had some last words, you knew this was the last time you were going to see someone or a group of people, would not those words be freighted with poignancy? Would they not be weighted with meaning and significance? You'd dispense with frivolous irrelevances. You'd cut to the chase. You'd say what was really on your heart. Verse 4. In the middle. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And down to verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Words spoken to the apostles. But as we've just, or we often declare, we haven't this morning in this service, but every Sunday actually there is a declaration through the words of the Creed. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. In other words, the church that was, if you like, born with the apostles by the Spirit of God has passed on that tradition, and we stand in that inheritance. We are, in that sense, an apostolic church. We take what the apostles received and live it ourselves. We take these words of Jesus, which they took so seriously, and we take them seriously ourselves. So as Jesus says in these vital words, these last departing words of his, you will be my witnesses. We take that seriously here. And so we seek to express the fact that we're a Christ-centered, Christ-empowered, Christ-envisioned family of people. But not just the holy huddle within these four walls. We're a Christ-centered family in Parsons Green and beyond. We get that from verse 8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let me just comment on that verse and attempt to apply it in the next few minutes. You will be my witnesses, not the witnesses. My witnesses, says Jesus. Not the witnesses to a movement or an extraordinary phenomenon, that Pentecost festival. Not the witnesses to an ideology or a collection of concepts. Witnesses to a person. My witnesses. In Jesus' day, there wasn't the sophisticated judiciary that there is today in our country. If you were accused of something, you were taken towards a kind of, it would have seemed like a sort of kangaroo jury, really, in the village, in the locality. And what you had to do if you were the accused was to gather as many people as you could to testify to your character, irrespective of whether they'd, you know, seen the actual event or occurrence of which you were accused. You just called as many character witnesses as you could. I don't know whether he stole the pig. I wasn't there. But I can tell you, he doesn't usually. I've known him for this long. He's a good, upright member of the community. And basically, cases would be won and lost on the weight and the number of the witnesses that the accused was able to gather. And Jesus says here, I want you to be my character references. I want you to state what you know and have seen and have lived and experienced and processed of me and of our relationship. You will be my witnesses. Witness is different from evangelist. Our speaker at the weekend away that we had a few months ago was very helpful here in teasing out the difference between an evangelist, someone who makes a case for the good news, makes a case for the gospel, with a view to persuading those who are unsure. And some people, some of us, are called and skilled to be able to do that, but not all. But every single one of us, I want to say from this passage here, every single one of us is called to some extent to be a witness. You see, in a court of law, it's the barrister who draws all the evidence together and makes a persuasive argument for the jury. And he calls a whole load of witnesses, and the witnesses simply have to say what they saw or what they experienced. They simply just have to say, yes, I was there at the scene of the crime. Yes, I saw the car crash. They're not asked for any opinion. They're not asked to sum up or to make a case. It's just, what did you see? What have you lived through? What have you experienced such that you can speak of it now in this courtroom and to this jury? So let me ask you, witnesses, what do you know of Jesus Christ? What have you experienced of him and his love for you, his care and provision, sometimes his tests and his trials? Let me put it another way. I was reminded of this the other day, something I heard when I first became a Christian. Someone said, supposing you were put on trial for being a Christian, that was the accusation, accused of being a Christian, then would there be enough evidence to convict you? I don't just mean here, where we say the Lord's Prayer together and we recite the Creed and we come to Holy Communion. I don't mean Christians on a Sunday. I mean Monday and Tuesday, when maybe you're the only Christian in the office or the workplace, in the household, wherever it might be. Would there be, with all the secret cameras that our culture spawns these days, would there be enough evidence from what we say and do, how we prioritize our time, to convict us of that charge? You will be my witnesses. Are we? Are you? A witness, able to testify to what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. That's what we understand ourselves to be here. When we talk about the Christ-centered family, people who center their lives on Jesus in such a way that they can testify to that when called upon to do so. But where do we witness? And according to our mission statement, we witness as the Christ-centered family in Parsons Green. Interesting that Jesus says here, second bit of verse 8, you will be my witnesses in, first of all, Jerusalem. I was thinking about this, because if you look further down at verse 11, when these two striking men address the apostles, men of Galilee, these men say. These apostles, as we know, many of them lived in Galilee, which is in the sort of north of the region. And they traveled south to Jerusalem to this feast of Pentecost, which we know was taking place, because that's where it was centered, around the temple and the city of Jerusalem. They'd made the journey. They were away from home. They weren't where they usually lived and worked and did everything else. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. In other words, you will be my witnesses first and foremost in the place of encounter, where you first truly encountered me. Do you remember last week, if you were here, Peter says, he's trying to sort of convince the crowd, this Jesus, there were many Jesuses, lots of people called Jesus in those days, lots of preachers, lots of people claiming to be messiahs, all sorts, but this Jesus, whom you crucified along with all the others, this Jesus, God has made both Lord and Christ. He's unique. Do you see it? That is your Jerusalem moment. As it was for the disciples, Peter saw it. You see, filled with the Spirit, all the scriptures that had been rammed in his head as a child and through bar mitzvah and so on, threw up into his adulthood. Suddenly, the Spirit poured them out of his mouth into a rough and ready sermon. He saw it. He witnessed there and then in Jerusalem, even though he lived in Galilee. He witnessed, he testified to what the Spirit had revealed there in Jerusalem. Can I ask, if you're seeking to be part of us, an active part of us, where, when, how was your Jerusalem moment, if I can put it like that? When did you first see in such a way that you thought, yes, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be his witness. I don't mean you sort of tripped inside a church and thought, well, this seems nice and friendly, and they give us coffee, and they don't charge, and everyone seems quite nice, and I might center myself on church. We're not the church-centered family. Anyone can come to this. Is an open service. I'm not allowed, unless you're going to do something illegal, I'm not allowed to bar you from this service. Anyone can come in. No questions. We're not a church-centered family. We're a Christ-centered family. When, can I ask, when did you encounter Jesus Christ in such a way that you responded to him, Lord, Savior, Master, Friend? I used to go along when I was at school. I used to go along to a Christian Union meeting. Some friends took me along, and I was intrigued. I was at a boarding school. The boarding school food was appalling, and there were free biscuits. I was there. You wouldn't hold me back. There were nice biscuits as well. It was a sort of one solid meal of the week. That's why I went. What I discovered was that the talks weren't so bad. I kind of understood them. Church had been just blah, 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 way over my head. Did you know? It just irrelevant. The land that time forgot. Done with the dinosaurs. And suddenly here was someone speaking truth and sense in a way that I understood. And bit by bit, it was like putting pieces together on a jigsaw, I began to see the picture. Jesus is alive. He invites me into relationship with him. I remember the moment, if you like, my Jerusalem moment. It had been the culmination of weeks, even months. But there was a moment when I said, I want you, Lord, in my life. Actually, what I come to realize is that actually I'm giving my puny little life to his great purposes. But I want to be joined together. I want to be identified with you. I want to live for you. It was a real decision because, you know, teenage boys being, you know, if you go to see you, it's a bit soppy, a bit wimpy, a bit weak. I used to get kind of teased for going. Everyone kind of knew it was going on during the school day. Everyone knew where you were going if you traipsed off to room 27. That's where the God Squad are, the Bible bashers. You're not going there, are you? I had to make a choice. Am I going to go with the crowd? Am I going to live my life according to what they think of me? Or am I going to respond to this invitation? So yeah, I wrestled with it. They were getting drunk and apparently having a great time. The language was fruity. It was all sort of, you know, manly stuff as we're growing up. Am I going to go that way? Or am I going to go the way of Christ? I made a decision. I can't remember the exact date, but I can give you a rough time frame as to when that was. When was Jerusalem for you? The ability to witness to personal knowledge, personal experience of Jesus Christ. There was a song that we used to sing, a kind of spiritual thing at the time. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Of course, historically, I wasn't. But the invitation in the song is, can you go back in your mind's eye? Can you picture yourself? Can you place yourself in that tableau as he hangs on the cross for me? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he raised up from the dead? Were you there? And in a sense, my prayer of response was, I wasn't actually there, but in spirit. Yes, I've kind of journeyed with you, Lord. I want to be associated with you. I'll associate with your death. I'll die to myself, that you might live in me and I might live a new life. Jerusalem, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Secondly, you'll be my witnesses in Judea. You'll be my witnesses in Judea. Judea is, I should have got a little map, it's just a surrounding area that comprises, it goes up to sort of Galilee in the north and down to Jericho, Masada and so on down in the south, and the kind of River Jordan runs down the center of it, Jerusalem sort of more or less in the middle. If you like, it's the equivalent of Greater London, where we've got sort of Parsons Green and Hampstead and, you know, all these other boroughs and areas that make up Greater London. You will be my witnesses to testify to personal experience of me. And you'll be my witnesses in this general area, this wider area. Now, in our mission statement, we say you'll be my witnesses, we'll be the Christ Center family to glorify God in Parsons Green. And the thing is that if we stuck literally to that geographical area, then that would be about sort of three of us, I think, and our dog. That would be the only people it would really apply to. And I realize as soon as we name an area in Parsons Green, we restrict ourselves geographically. And you go with a justifiable indignation. What about Putney? or Hammersmith, or wherever it might be that the Lord has called you to live. Absolutely, absolutely. There are, if I may say, just one or two little Church of England sensitivities, in that if we were, as a church here in Parsons Green, to declare we had more than a passing interest in witnessing to Putney, Charles Fraser at St Mary's might get a little bit unsettled, or Simon Downham up at St Paul's Hammersmith. Oh, wait, what's going on? You know, that we're here, let's all, you know, work together on this. Absolutely. So for sensitivities and to keep me out of trouble with the bishop, we talk about being the Christ Centre family in Parsons Green. But we're a bit wider than that. That's why I'm so pleased we've had this map done, and Ang Harrit, who's multi-talented, has kind of here's Judea. And here's our particular parish. I don't know if you ever knew what shape our parish was. That's our parish. And you'll see, as you come up for communion in a minute and come to look at the map, you'll see that actually it's a funny old shape, and that most of us, whilst living within a five-minute walk, or many of us, whilst living in a five-minute walk, don't actually live in the parish. So we want to say Parsons Green to kind of signify Judea, to kind of signify this area and beyond. And what I'd love you to do, I'm going to put this map over here on this easel, is when in a few minutes I invite you up for communion, I'd love you to come up, whether you take the bread and wine or not, is a secondary matter. Please come up for a prayer of blessing or for the bread and the wine. And as you go past, there's a little saucer with a blue dot. And if you count yourself a member here, and please, I don't mean to be exclusive if you're a visitor, but it'll slightly mess up what we're trying to do. But if you count yourself a member here, you're on the electoral roll, you've been worshipping here for some time, then would you take a blue dot and stick it on the map where you live? It would be so helpful, and I think quite encouraging, just to see where we are ministering and missioning in Judea. In it wider than Parsons Green. What I want to do is to display that map somewhere. We'll work out where in the church so that we can see. From time to time, we'll review it. We'll invite new members to stick their dots on, as it were. Please, if you're a visitor here, it's lovely to see you. Welcome. we'd love you to become a member. And then you can stick a dot on the map. So witnesses in Judea, let's see where we are. It'd be thrilling if we found that four or five or six of us actually were just two or three streets apart. We imagine, with Christmas coming up, there's an opportunity, isn't there, to invite people to a carol service kind of quite strategically. Why don't you throw a party early in December, just a drinks party or something, and invite all your neighbours together and see if there aren't some who might like to come and see what this is all about. I'm thrilled to say that these packs have been made up, thinking about our immediate area. This actually is in Parsons Green. The new development just by the tube here, and there's some other flats in Peterborough Road as well. These amazing cards, this little folder just says, "Welcome to Fulham." And it's got our details on the back, and inside it's just these little inserts with local information: the council, the town hall, the police station, the library, the post office, chemist, dentist, NHS, medical information, and so on. And tucked inside too is our little leaflet, so that on the outside it looks like a building, but of course as soon as you open it up, you can see that it's the people, it's the Christ-centered family. You've got an idea of, they look nearly as nice as I am. I might think about coming along. And we want to take those and just deliver them. Just knock on the door, say, "Hi, welcome. We just thought this pack might be helpful. We're from the local church. Is there any way we could pray for you? Is there something you'd like us to pray for?" And who knows, as we witness to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows who might shake out of that little offer, that little invitation. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea. And Samaria. Briefly, why does Jesus mention Samaria? Because Samaria is contained within Judea. Why didn't he say you'll be my witnesses in all sorts of other towns? Why Samaria? And as you know, there was a long-standing history of animosity and hatred, the Jews and the Samaritans, such that if you pilgrimage from Galilee in the north down to Jerusalem in the south, although as the crow flies, that's going straight through Samaria, pilgrims would often go all the way around, taking several days longer in their journey to get to Jerusalem in order to avoid Samaria. Why? Because it was too risky. It was too costly. you'd get beaten up. You see, you're traveling with 2 or 3 days' provisions, lots of money, that kind of thing. You'd get beaten up or mugged. And so they didn't like the risk. They'd go the long way round. And Jesus says, to testify to me, to speak of me in this wider area, means that it will involve risk and cost. You're to go to and be prepared to testify in the risky places and the costly areas where our reputation might get mugged, where our pride might be left for dead. In the places where there's incredible stress or tension in the city and the money markets right now, as my witness, you are to stand firm, to declare that you are rooted on rock, not sand. Tough, but the call is to witness there. And finally, to the ends of the earth. Please, don't leave us. Unless, of course, the Lord calls you. Unless the Lord calls you to, I don't know, maybe in the dizzying places and surrounds of Hong Kong or New York or Milton Keynes or Orpington. I don't know where he's going to call you. But maybe away from here, we might say figuratively, the ends of the earth. You know, as we trace through the book of Acts, we see that that's what the early church did. Chapters 1 to 7, Jerusalem activity. Chapters 8 to 9, Samaria. Chapters 10 to the end, the ends of the earth, Rome and the known Greco-Roman world and beyond. And that pattern has spread out today. Billions of Christians worshipping today around the world. We stand in their heritage and we're just one tiny part of it. And that's our vision, to continue being the Christ-centered family in Parsons Green. In other words, in Jerusalem, our own personal testimony. In Judea, wherever the Lord calls you to work and rest and play, not just in one geographical area. It'll involve the cost of the Samaria, as it were. And it might be that we take what we know of him even further afield to the ends of the earth. Daunting. Yeah. That's why Jesus says in verse 4, wait. Don't race out in your own strength. Wait until you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wait until you know me. Maybe that, like me, you made that first profession of faith decades ago. Has it grown cold? A little bit dusty? A little bit uncertain? What a wonderful opportunity Alpha is. To come along and brush up on the basics, either through your house group or centrally on a Tuesday evening from the 30th of September. Come in order that you can encounter the living Lord Jesus so that you've got something to take and someone to testify to. You'll receive power, Jesus says, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to overcome the fear that is natural and lurks in any of us. I don't know what to say. I don't know what they'll say to me. What if they ask a question I don't know the answer to? What if I get stuck? Look silly? I don't know. Other than Jesus promises us his presence and his power as we wait on him. Let's be quiet for a moment. We're going to practice, as it were, getting up and moving in a few moments. We're going to move from our seats. We're going to make this journey.